sack. Is that all you get for your money?
Who needs a house in Sassaquin?
And it seems such a waste of time. If that's what it's all about, mama, if that's moving up, then I'm moving out.
Welcome back to the program. Good Friday morning. I'm Chris McCarthy. A lot of us are moving out, getting out of the state of Massachusetts, in part because our civil rights are not respected here. Not at all, quite frankly. My next guest is going to talk all about that. Remember, the First Amendment, very important. It's how I make a living. It's how we all educate each other. But the Second Amendment is right there in the Constitution for a reason. The Founding Fathers knew how important it was. Just because you don't understand how important it is doesn't mean it's any less important than the Founding Fathers realized it was, right? All right, so we're now joined by Toby Leary from Cape Gun Works. Talk about the ballot question, our civil rights here in Massachusetts to own a firearm. Good morning, Toby. Thanks for joining me.
Good morning, Chris. Thanks for having me on.
Tell us what is going... Give my listeners, those who don't know, what happened, where we are today, why we're here.
Yeah, the 30,000-foot view is a year ago, a little over a year ago now, the state passed a bill that ultimately became called Chapter 135 of the Acts of 2024. And it is a sweeping omnibus bill, that 140-page bill that changes every aspect of firearms ownership and use in the state of Massachusetts, from hunting to FID cards to getting your license to carry to who can and can't own and what people can and can't own. And so it's extremely convoluted and confusing. And the worst part of it is the process that was used was so abused all the way through. It was probably the least transparent way of passing any type of legislation, but they had a kind of a joke of a listening tour for 11 months, heard the people of Massachusetts, and then did exactly the opposite of what the people who showed up at those listening tour events told them, which was leave lawful, peaceful people alone and go after the violent career criminals who abuse people with guns. And they didn't do any of that. This has no law enforcement aspect to it other than punishing the lawful, peaceful people. And so this was signed, once it came out of committee, it was signed into law a week after the House and the Senate approved it, which all happened within 12 hours. It came out late at night. Then on my birthday, the next day, the House approved it and the Senate approved it and then sent it to Maura Healey's desk. That's when we got involved with the Civil Rights Coalition. We formed a ballot committee to repeal this bill through a ballot measure and also sought the suspension of this law until the voters could weigh in next November. Well, as soon as it became apparent by Maura Healey that we were going to win and have plenty of signatures to get the law suspended, she retroactively signed an emergency preamble to the bill 71 days after signing it into law so that it would go into effect immediately and literally short-circuited the democratic process that was taking place in her state. And the premise of safety, even though it has done nothing to make us safer. In fact, under Chapter 135, we just witnessed a veteran who moved here from Arizona do 125 days behind bars after 30 hours of being in this state with guns that he lawfully, legally owned and purchased in Arizona, and he moved here with them, and he has 60 days by state law to apply for a license to carry. Well, they charged him with unlicensed possession of firearms, and they're seeking to put him away for in more than a decade for daring exercise a constitutional right. He did 125 days. They held him under the dangerousness statute without bail. They don't even do that to hardened career criminals, Chris.
Right.
Now we have a woman who, from Connecticut, a nurse who is here on business, that is a two-time cancer survivor. She's a single mother of an 8-year-old son. She's 38 years old. No criminal history, has a license to carry in the state of Connecticut. She gets in a horrible car accident in Massachusetts while she's here on business. It's a hit and run. The driver flees the scene. They have to extract her out of her vehicle, bring her to the hospital. And while she's there, they search her vehicle and find a loaded handgun in her center console that she is lawfully able to possess in Connecticut. And she has a concealed weapons permit. And Massachusetts charges her with unlawful possession of a firearm in this state, a loaded firearm, which carries extra mandatory minimum jail time. She's now looking down the barrel of years behind bars for being a lawful, peaceful person in the state of Massachusetts, daring to exercise the right to keep and bear arms. And that all happened in Springfield, which is not known as, the friendliest part of the state.
Dealers it is.
That's right. Yeah, cocaine dealers get out on bail very quickly. And, it's just unbelievable. So this is the actual real-world results of what's happening under Chapter 135. They are targeting people you don't need to worry about.
Right.
And the people, like you just mentioned, the cocaine dealers with prior gun charges, well, they get out on bail. And, if you work for the Wu administration in Boston and drive around with machine guns in the car and assault police officers, well, you're also granted bail. But that's the way it goes, unfortunately.
Speaking with Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks, also part of the Civil Rights Coalition, working to protect our very crucial Second Amendment rights here in Massachusetts. Toby, so where are we today? What happened?
Yeah, so last January, we had Senator Durant and a bunch of representatives, Representative Gaskey and Sweezy and a bunch of other great state reps, introduce legislation to repeal this horrible bill. And we had, this is how the state treats your constitutionally protected rights. They decided to have the hearing on these bills on Halloween. So they knew no one would show up. They're all going to be there at home. But I tell you one thing, Chris, a ton of people showed up. A lot of women showed up. A lot of elderly people showed up who are sick and tired of being blamed for every negative outcome with a firearm, and they're not the problem. And they showed up in support of the repeal of these bills. And they, again, had the hearings on Halloween. We all showed up at the State House and testified. This room was full of people wanting these laws repealed. And they just memory hold them all into a study where they will never see the light of day. So that's the way your state legislature views your constitutionally protected rights. They have already put them out to pasture where they will never see the light of day again. They're not even going to consider their error of their ways, which, by the way, they have no right or no privilege in any founding document or constitutional charter, whether state or federal, to alter or encumber a constitutional right. It's outside of the bounds of their constitutional limits. And they did it anyway. And so they don't have any desire to make that right by repealing this horrible law that's only affecting the lawful, peaceful citizens of Massachusetts. So that leaves us with one option, and that is next November on the ballot, the voters will have a chance to say, you know what, this goes way too far. I'm a Democrat, I'm an independent, I'm a Republican, I'm a concerned citizen in Massachusetts, and I'm going to vote to repeal this horrible law that goes so far into the constitutional rights that are enshrined in state and federal constitution. And we're taking this back from the government actors who acted way outside the bounds of their constitutional limitations.
They're acting like inbred monarchs, quite frankly. These No King yeah. rallies, right? Maura Healey, who many people in my audience, including me, voted for, she's acting like an inbred monarch, and the legislature just is complicit in it. These laws that we have in Massachusetts were really excellent laws. They might have been a little too strict, quite frankly, but there was no reason to change them, was there, Toby?
The whole thing about all of this bill is it is a solution in search of a problem at every possible level. And these people are smart. They're not dumb. They know that they can use crime and illegal activity with a firearm to emotionally tie people up and say, hey, this is why we need to restrict guns from good people that we don't need to worry about, because look at the bad actors with these guns. They have been putting on a master class of doing this for the last 40 years, Chris. And every encroachment or infringement upon the Second Amendment is always tied to illegal activity.
Yes.
And never, you know, they never show the positive and the defensive gun uses that allow people to go home to their families or go put food on their table or take their kids hunting. They only point to the negative outcomes of a gun and then say, this is why we need to restrict it from the people we don't need to worry about. And unfortunately, people continue to give them their job back every election cycle and reward this bad behavior. But I really want to stress that the very people who are sitting there and ignoring the 72% of the people that voted for the audit are the same people that are indifferent on any of your constitutionally protected rights. So if they're allowed to do this about the Second Amendment, then it is a smorgasbord of constitutional infringements coming soon to a city near you, because they don't care about the oath of office that they took when they, you know, held their right hand up and swore that oath. The Constitution means zero to the people on Beacon Hill. And in a lot of cases, Chris, even the court systems, they don't look at this as the Constitution is the document that all laws need to be judged by. They literally just use interest balancing approach and government interest and say, hey, you know what? It's in government's best interest to restrict good people's rights, then we're going to uphold that, even though the Supreme Court has told them they can no longer do that.
We're speaking with Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks, also the Civil Rights Coalition. Toby, how do people get involved in preserving their constitutional rights, their civil rights, here this fall?
Yeah, well, that's a great question. And, you know, there's 600,000 gun owners in the state of Massachusetts. That number's dwindled significantly since I've been a gun owner. Back in 98, there was 1.2 million gun owners in this state. So we have about half what we did in 1998. But unfortunately for us, a lot of them don't vote. You have to register to vote. You have to go out. That's over 500,000 people right there in an election where 1.5 million people are going to make the decision on what the direction of this state is, you know, on a ballot question. So a third of it right there is just the people who have a vested interest and are stakeholders in the Second Amendment need to vote. Then they need to encourage their friends and their family and those who are at least sympathetic to the cause. Hey, let's all go together. We'll have a big, you know, after party. We'll vote and we'll go down and get some hot wings and, you know, celebrate our rights being restored. That's key. Number two, they can go to thecivilrightscoalition.com and sign up to volunteer or to donate. We are punching way above our weight class as far as the money that we spend and have to spend in order to get this in front of as many people as possible before next November. But we need everybody's help. The little donations that are coming in, I'm grateful for, because we're gonna use this money very wisely to get every man, woman, and child in Massachusetts who can vote to take it seriously and realize that all rights are worth defending. And then I would say, thirdly, is, you know, volunteer your time. Go knock on a door, make a call. you know, hold a sign, put a sign out in front of your house. We need all the volunteers we can get. And I believe that if the Second Amendment goes away, that is the last line of defense against tyranny really rising to power. And we've seen it happen. And like you pointed out, Chris, Morihili is acting like a queen in this state right now and indifferent upon our rights. And, you know, there's only one thing that's going to stop them, and that's when we say enough is enough. So it's time we stand up and be counted. If no one's coming to save us, we say this all the time in the self-defense community. There's no one coming to save you.
Right.
You are your own first responder. And the same is true here. If we don't take care of ourselves, then you can write off Massachusetts, and I don't want to see that happen. This is where the whole show started 250 years ago, and I believe we can stand in the shadow of our forefathers here and do what needs to be done once again in Massachusetts.
Toby, look, I think everybody, when they're hearing all about the 250, the governor's going to make a big deal about it, as she should. The Galvin's going to make a big deal about it, as he should. The legislators are going to make a big deal about 250th anniversary of the revolution. Think about that revolution without private firearms. It wouldn't have happened. Toby, it's crazy, right?
It is. And we're, and you know, unfortunately, Morihili has taken the form of the royal governor, Thomas Gage, who was tasked with disarming the colonists here in Massachusetts. And I mean, the irony writes itself. You really can't make this stuff up. It's just unbelievable. That's exactly what they're doing. And they're all saying that they're on the right side of history and doing it. And nothing could be further from the truth. It's like, you know.
Well, that's up to us, Toby, really, right?
Yeah,
we're
going to
write the next chapter of history with this ballot referendum. So everybody's got to get out there. We're talking to the people who don't vote. It's below them for some reason. All these gun owners who don't vote, it's really frustrating and infuriating, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. And I get it. A lot of them say, what's the point?
Well,
but I will say that this is a unique opportunity. And a lot of Democrats who don't support that, well, they believe in the Second Amendment, but they never vote a candidate that would support the Second Amendment because they don't want all the other stuff, quote unquote, that goes along with that, right? So this is a unique situation for the Democrat who is sympathetic to the Second Amendment, because all it is yes or no about restricting your constitutionally protected rights. And I believe that most Americans, Democrat, Independent, Republican, believe in the Constitution. There's a few out there that want to change it and, you know, whatever. That's not who I'm speaking to. But you have a unique opportunity to claw back your rights in a big way this November. And but we need all the help we can get, and we need people to spread the word and say, hey, you know what? This goes way too far. No way should any politician have the right to restrict our constitutionally protected rights.
Toby, I appreciate you joining me. We're going to make sure you're in the conversation regularly here on the program. One more time before you go, tell people what the website is and how they can get more information.
Yeah, thanks so much again, Chris, for having me on. They can go to thecivilrightscoalition.com. You got to put in T-H-E there. So it's thecivilrightscoalition.com. Sign up, donate, and stay up to date with our campaign.
Thank you so much, Toby Leary. Guys, really, it's very, very important that we stand up for ourselves. Very important that we stand up for ourselves. Now, the holiday season is upon us, right? You want to celebrate with guns? Why not? Head to Shooting Supply. This holiday season, Shooting Supply has the deals that you need. Listen to this. Save $90 on the Smith & Wesson 9mm Shield EZ, now just $399. The new Sig Sauer P365X Macro is in stock at Shooting Supply. Come see the latest in America's most popular handgun line. On a budget, the Taurus G3C with lifetime warranty is just $219 after the rebate. Ammunition, 500 rounds of Winchester service grade 9mm, only $119. You got a hard to buy for a sportsman? Gift cards are available at Shooting Supply. That's a great gift. Find all the best holiday deals at Shooting Supply. Go to the store. It's 848 State Road in Westport, or check them out online, shootingsupply.com. We'll be right back.
Back to Chris McCarthy and South Coast Now on WBSM. Call 508-996-0500.
Welcome back to the program. That sounds like a horrible morning, but a great evening, I guess. All right, kind of open phones. What's on your mind? I want to hear about it. What the legislature did, it's another outrage, quite frankly, with gun rights. I mean, absolutely outrageous. We all have the right, unless you've disqualified yourself with your behavior, to own a firearm. It's no big deal. You know, it's funny. I grew up in Freetown. You know that. And I was a paper boy out there for a number of years. And I was a great paper boy. And how I know that is that my younger brother followed me, and he was a horrible paper boy. So it only made me look better. Only made me look better. People used to love to see me on the street and say, "You were the best paper boy we ever had. Your brother, not so much. He's a much better musician than I am, though." Hopefully you can see him out there. He's out there all over the place playing these days. My brother, not a great paper boy, though. But anyway, I was in everybody's living room, everybody's family room, in everybody's house, in my neighborhood, Robinson Estates, middle-class neighborhood out in Freetown. And the people I grew up with have grown into adults. Many of them have the liberal mindset, anti-firearms mentality, and how dangerous guns are and everything. And I have to remind them, if they give me the opportunity, I take the opportunity sometimes, to point out to them that they, like me, were surrounded by firearms growing up in Freetown. I mean surrounded by firearms. And I'm not even sure that they were all legal firearms, right? Many of them were inherited firearms. Then they changed the law, right? I mean, they changed the law all the time. My dad's gun license, college-educated man, school teacher, yeah, he had a firearms license. It had no picture on it. It was a paper card issued by Ed Mello, maybe I think it was Lieutenant Ed Mello, who later became the chief, and he was our neighbor out there in Freetown. There were guns all over my neighborhood. Teachers had guns. Certainly people who worked for the power company had guns. Business people had guns. I mean, we were surrounded by firearms out there in Freetown. Shotguns, semi-automatic rifles, handguns, tons of firearms. Nobody ever got killed. Nobody ever shot each other. It was a ton of legal firearms in Freetown. Do you know the most per capita firearms in Massachusetts is the town of Rochester? Rochester has the most density of firearms ownership in Massachusetts, the little town of Rochester. Do you ever hear about violent crime in Rochester? No, you never hear about that. Never. But you have people in the legislature, they can't solve real crime without angering some other constituents, right? They can't solve or even suggest reasonable punishment for unreasonable criminals. They really can't without somehow offending one of their constituents. So, what do? They concoct laws that have absolutely no impact on solving violent crime. They don't. They target legal gun owners like you. And yet many of you vote for them. Many of you voted for Democrats to go to the legislature. People who have zero knowledge of firearms and don't even care to hear it. They really don't. They do not care to hear it. They get invited to go to firearms days by the NRA and Gun Owners Action League, where they can learn what an automatic weapon is versus a semi-automatic weapon. But they don't learn. They don't even go. They do not even go. I can tell you this, and many of you don't know either. So I'll just tell you, the weapons you see in the movies in the hands of Arnold Schwarzenegger and other people like that, those are not commercially available in Massachusetts. They're not. When you hear a semi-automatic weapon, if you're Mark Sylvia, you fill your diaper. Because you don't know. A couple of months ago, a friend of mine from Fairhaven, a woman, I sat her down. She's a lawyer as well, an accountant. And I said to her, we had a little conversation over a couple drinks, and I explained to her the difference in firearms without having a firearm. I said, look, a semi-automatic firearm, it gives you one bullet for one trigger pull. You pull the trigger one time, you get one bullet. What's so scary about that unless it's pointed at you? She said, no, I thought there was, it fires all the bullets. I said, no, that's a fully automatic weapon. That is not commercially available for most people in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. Squeeze the trigger and all the bullets come out? That is not a legal firearm in Massachusetts. What they're going after are the guns that you squeeze the trigger one time and one bullet comes out. That's the gun they want now. All the other guns have been banned already. They want the gun where you squeeze the trigger one time and one bullet comes out. Those are the only firearms that are commercially available in Massachusetts. It's not the ones you see on Predator and the other movies. They're not available. There are guns that are illegally available where they have a switch in them that converts a semi-automatic handgun to a fully automatic handgun. That is an illegal weapon. That's already been addressed. The problem is the liberal Democrats you have as prosecutors and judges, they don't do anything when the brave men and women of the police lock those guys and quite frankly, gals up. All right, I see you on hold, but I do have to take a break. 508-996. It'll be a short break, too. It really will. Quite frankly, they should be selling more commercials for this show. 508-996-05. And it'll take a very short break, and we'll be right back.
Programming on WBSM brought to you by South Coast Health. Advanced medicine, more care.
Asia.
South Coast Now with Chris McCarthy. Weekdays on 1420 AM and 99.5 FM. WBSM.
Whoa, me, I'm trying just to get to second base. And I
she'd steal it if she only gave.
Yeah, move your elbow.
The inning isn't over yet for me.
Isn't that the sign? She moves her elbow.
I got the old man's car. I got a jazz guitar.
Welcome back to the program. I'm Chris McCarthy. Hey, did you see all that Somalian fraud going on out there in Minnesota? I'm finally learning what Somalians are. I thought there was the guy on the cruise ship who recommends a wine. What do I know, right? You know what I do know? Bass Ready Rooter. They've been the trusted name now for over 50 years in drain cleaning and septic maintenance all across New Bedford, Fall River, Dartmouth, Freetown. From emergency clogs to hydro jetting and camera inspections, the expert team at Bass Ready Rooter delivers solutions the right way with honesty and respect. Bass Ready Rooter, they may not be your first call, but they're guaranteed to always be your last call. Write this down, bassready.com. We got a bunch of people on hold. Let's go to the phone lines. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. I'm all for guns.
Good.
You know? But you never mentioned the bump stocks. Remember when the Massachusetts wanted to take it away from people?
Yeah. Do you like those bump stocks?
I have a few. I don't use them, but I have them.
Yeah, because I always thought it would be hard to keep the barrel on target with one of those.
Well, yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
Not really.
Is it or isn't? I don't know. I've never used one.
It's more for your finger. Like, it'll just... It almost makes it semi to full.
No, it makes a fully automatic, kind of, right?
It makes a full, yeah, in a way. But they're illegal now,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And there's no reason to have them.
Yeah, I said, I think it would be very expensive. Do you find it expensive? Because bullet ammunition, except if you go to shooting supply, can be very expensive these days. So I would think you'd fire a lot of more bullets than you need.
Yeah, but look, your commercial on your radio station, you can get 500 rounds.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
For $100-something.
Mm.
That's a lot of rounds. And then if you go, like, next week, you get another 500, then you're stockpiling.
Yeah, but if you're using those bump stocks, that's got to burn through a lot of ammo, right?
Yeah, it depends where you're shooting.
That's true.
I'm just a hunter.
Yeah.
And I believe in right to bear arms and like to go hunting. Nowadays, I can't, like I told you last week, I can't walk down the street with a shotgun. It's deer season. Everybody freaks out. Hey, he's got a gun. You know?
Like, I know.
You don't like it. Go back to wherever, New Bedford, Fall River. Because I grew up in Dartmouth,
yeah,
in Westport. You know? It's hunting. We're not out there. If you see us all in orange, we're not the bad guys because we have masks
right
over our face. You know what I mean?
I do.
And they're not wearing masks because they're afraid of the flu, because they don't want their identity shown.
Right.
You know, well, right, that's my vetting today. You have a good day.
You too, my friend. Remember, gun control is a tight shot group. A tight shot group is gun control. Look, if there weren't for hunters, the deer would be starving to death. And you got to thin them out. There are very few predators around anymore for deers. There really are. And you'd be hitting a lot more of them with your automobiles. You ever hit a deer with your automobile? I've hit a deer before, right on Holland Road. Coming up to Opponiquit, I hit a deer. Then on Mason Road in Freetown, I hit a deer, actually hit me. It ran out of the woods, smashed into the side of my car. They make a mess of your automobile, and it's really, you know, it's tragic when you see the deer get hit. And then they run to the water, we know that, where they feel safer. And again, we have a right, and you're going to hear all about the 250th anniversary of the Revolution. Just remember, none of that could have happened without private ownership of firearms. That's the whole thing. And Maura Healey is now, as Toby said, imitating the royal governor, Governor Gage, who was supposed to strip us of our powder, ball, and rifles. All the firearms. How'd that work out, right? So you can be a modern-day Democrat and be a traitor, quite frankly, to the spirit of the American Revolution. If when on 4th of July, when they're coming down the street, if they're an anti-gun Democrat, call them what they are, a traitor. Call them a traitor. Call them a traitor, because that's what they are, really, quite frankly. They make me sick. Even some of them, they're my friends. Some of these guys are my friends. But they cannot deal head-on with the real cause of crime. So they strip law-abiding Americans of their Second Amendment rights. All right, let's go back to the phones. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Morning, Chris.
Hello.
Chris, you ever hear of the Botley-Fox law?
Yes, it's supposed to be a year in jail for illegal firearms.
For anyone convicted of carrying a firearm in public without a valid license. You have any idea when that came out?
I'm going to say 78, but I'm not sure.
1975, very close. All good. Right. And you cannot find any data on how many people have been convicted of the Botley-Fox gun law.
Nobody, right? Or very few. They pleaded out, right?
Well, it didn't peter out. They stopped enforcing it.
No, they pleaded out.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Perhaps. I've done research to try to find out how many people going back to all the way to 1986 to see how many judges actually put folks in prison for that. Because I remember on occasion I would see that show up in an inmate's record.
Yes.
He, you know, doing his time. And I thought to myself, with all the gun violations in Massachusetts, our prisons would, I don't know why they don't. The point that you were trying to make that we have laws in place, but they don't enforce them.
Yep.
Botley-Fox is a great example.
If they enforced Botley-Fox, you would have a lot less guys casually carrying guns around the streets of New Bedford and at fairs here in Fairhaven.
One of the results of Botley-Fox, as I did the research, was the spike in folks legally applying for a permit, which is another good point. But you're absolutely right. And if they did and they were caught, they would be put in jail for a year as a punishment.
Right.
Whether or not that would be a deterrent for those people who do that. But the public would be much safer from a person who carried a gun at the Fairhaven feast.
Yep.
They would be gone for a year.
It would thin out the ranks of the criminals, and it would make them, it would just make places safer for the rest of us that follow the law.
I absolutely agree. If we just enforce the laws we had.
Thank you, my friend, as always, for the contribution to the program. Happy Friday. I'm going to take a break, and then we'll be right back. If you're on hold, stay there. We'll talk to you in a second. Back to the program. I'm Chris McCarthy of the audience. 11 o'clock, we'll be joined by Bristol County, former Bristol County Sheriff Tom Hodgson, of course, the chairperson of the reelect Donald Trump president here in Massachusetts. And there's a fascinating article in the Boston Herald by a friend of the program, Tim Dunn. Tim Dunn foiered, he foiered the records on LeVar Cook. That is the Democrat staffer for the governor who is allegedly importing pounds and pounds of Bolivian marching powder, cocaine, to the White House. It still had the brand name stamp from the cartel on it. That's how hooked up he was. Well, Tim Dunn from the Boston Herald, check it out at bostonherald.com, foiled his records. The governor and the lieutenant governor were fully aware that their Democrat employee had been involved in a violent shooting, as if there's nonviolent shootings, I guess, right? In a shooting, yet they hired him anyway. to be a top-level staffer. And that's not all. He accompanied the vice president around the Commonwealth when she was touring here. Vice President Harris was in the company of an alleged cocaine trafficker who'd been involved in a shooting. The governor was fully aware, and the lieutenant governor, the former attorney general, Governor Healey, were fully aware of his past, his criminal past, when they hired him and sent him out on the road with the vice president of the United States, later the nominee of the Democrat Party. How much more will you Democrats take? It's like totally outrageous, isn't it? He's in the State House, allegedly importing pounds of cocaine. Well, Tim Dunn will be here with Barry Richard, I think in the 1 o'clock hour. Read that article today. Tim also has been working on the convention center story, foiling information there. That's a big story. Senator Montagne's subpoenaing documents there as the chairman of Post Auto. We had him in talk about it the other day. We'll be following both those stories. You can follow them all at the Boston Herald. So,